Hey, this is John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. I'm at the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm with Drew Shirley of Switchfoot. Drew!
Yeah, man.
Thanks, man, for joining us.
Thanks. It's an honor to be on your show, man. Thanks.
Well, thank you, man. Yeah. Well, I know you've just got a few minutes before sound check, and thanks for taking the break, but tell me about this very cool guitar. I've never seen one like it.
Cool, yeah, we'll start with this. Again, it's an honor for me to have a signature collaboration with Elliott Guitars.
Oh, that's great.
This was inspired by a Epiphone cornets that I have collected.
Oh,
years.
Really? Oh, great.
And it's similar kind of shape, but we made it the size of a Tele, and then put the spacing from a 1960 Gibson Special in there.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like a double cutaway Junior that's shaped like a Tele. It's legit in every way. I can't say enough about Andy Elliott's craftsmanship. This guy, he just really is a very detail-oriented and a real genius at what he does. So
mahogany body.
That's right, yeah.
Wraparound bridge.
Wraparound bridge, rosewood neck, classic Junior tuners.
Right.
The red he made just like the early Gibson red.
It's great.
And it's
man.
Even started to fade on the horn where the sun has been at summer festivals.
Oh, cool.
So it's gonna wear just like the vintage Gibsons that I've got at home. And so it's a very cool guitar.
I'm
very proud of it.
So yeah.
It's called the Elliott Royal Haven. That's the name of it.
Awesome. Now, the pickups, what kind of P90s are those?
P90s? It's P90s that Andy winds himself.
Oh, cool.
He started winding his own pickups, and now he's selling pickups as well because people are loving them. You know, Peter Stroud turned me on to Elliott Guitars a while ago with his signature one that I play here, which is the Tone Master. And this guitar would probably be my Desert Island guitar. I mean, it's...
Oh, wow.
It's a Tone Master, but this thing is just solid. I can play anything with it, and... It's the kind of guitar, you know, how you kind of play better than you are on some guitars. I feel that way about this guitar. It's like, I kind of play better than I really am sometimes. So it's like, that's a good thing.
That's great.
I'll take it.
How cool. So this is your number one.
It's my number one.
This Eastman is your number two.
Yeah.
Hey, tell me, so this is Peter Stroud's signature?
Yeah, it sure is.
Wow, tell me a little bit about this.
Yeah, same thing.
It's heavier than I expected.
Solid guitar, man. It's just details. Again, he's got the string through body, which really adds a lot of sustain.
Sure.
Brass saddles like a Tele.
Yeah.
He makes his own bridge there. And just every appointment he has taken to, from the wiring to the pickups that he's wiring, to the, look at just the beauty of the stripe around the edge.
Oh yeah, that's great.
Just gorgeous work.
Yeah, so, nice belly cut there.
It's
great
got a nice
shape.
Nice belly cut. And it's, like I said, it's a guitar that can do almost anything.
You know, wiring, does it have that kind of Jaguar
sure
sort
does.
Of?
Jazzmaster.
Jazzmaster.
Style. Tone and volume.
I always confuse those two.
You can flip that up and it'll make it a darker, more mellow sound, just a real nice rounded sound in the circuitry that it switches on right there.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. And it's got to be way more solid with that bridge.
Stays in tune, stays intonated really well. You know, it's just like you said, with the bridge, the sustain in it is just beautiful.
And
it resonates.
I imagine on your
really well.
On your signature, the sustain and everything
thing.
Is so much more.
Same
do you ever
thing,
A-B be that to your old Epiphones?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I bet it's just, not even a fair fight, right?
It's not, because, I mean, vintage guitars have such a great soul to them that I still absolutely love,
right.
Obviously. I wouldn't want to travel with them. This is just as good as any one that I've got at home.
Yeah, and vintage guitars, it's funny how they've got their quirks, but you overlook them because they're cool.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know, but the intonation and stuff like that and the glitchy bits,
you know,
we kind of forget about.
You're right, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a shredder, so I kind of like a guitar that has some feeling to it that I can connect with. And I think a lot of players are like that, where it's just like, you know, I feel good playing this guitar, and you know, my concept that I tell, you know, kids that come to shows is like, play what makes you excited to play music.
Right.
Because that's really what it's all about.
Yeah.
This is what makes me excited to play music, right here. This is what I get excited about.
That's great.
So.
Well, very cool. Okay, so number one, number two.
Yes.
Would you say? And then what's your third one in
there? Yeah, this Telly is also an Elliott, and he makes it out of sugar pine, so it's really beautiful and light. And I can't say enough about it. It's you'll see if you hold this guitar, it's super light. Every appointment's been taken care of. And it resonates, it plays well, it intonates well.
Well, in these three saddle bridges don't bother you at all?
Not at all, man. Not at all. I think he's set it up so well. Like, I know he micro-measures the neck even before he puts the frets on, which a lot of guys rely on the frets to balance out inconsistencies in the neck.
Oh, really?
Well, this, you know, Andy's sitting there planing the neck to where it's perfect. Huh. Then he puts the frets on, so everything is laid out with kind of double layers of perfection. So
oh, that's great. I love those dot markers there, if you can see that at all.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I wonder what that is.
It's beautiful. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But he put a gold foil here that he's wound, and I'm a fan of gold foil pickups too.
So what's the story on those? I'm not familiar with them. Are they?
It is a single coil, and you know, they use them in a lot of older pawn shop kind of style guitars.
It kind of has that vibe to it.
You know?
Yeah.
I've got some old Silvertones and Harmonies that have that same style in it, and a lot of modern makers have kind of gone back to that because I think players like me kind of grew up idolizing these older pawn shop cool rad guitars.
Right.
And now they're integrating that into like their modern boutique gear.
Yeah.
And it's like just, it's a really cool vibe.
Is that a bullet casing?
Yeah,
great.
He said he shot that off in the backyard and thought it would be real cool to use as a switch.
That's a great idea.
It's a 45.
How perfect, man.
I call Andy Elliott a hickster, right? Because he's cool, but he's real backwards. You know what I mean?
That's great.
Which is cool, though.
That's great. Very cool. Okay, so three very cool guitars.
Yeah man.
And you just keep them here and switch as you go.
I do, man. I'm sort of old school. We as a band, we don't use any tracks or anything when we play. I switch all my own guitars.
Yeah.
I even plug in with an actual cord.
Yeah,
one
sure.
One of these guys.
Yeah, okay, that's great. Well, that's the last bit on this. Do you, what, are you in standard tuning on all of them? Or
yeah, okay. Standard, and drop D.
Okay.
We just take the E string, drop it down to a D.
Yeah.
Our singer, John Foreman, likes to write in drop D a lot.
Sure.
You know, ever since Meant to Live, which was one of our, you know, more popular songs through the years. So there's been a lot of other songs written in drop D that...
So you spend a lot of time...
So I do.
So you have a dedicated drop D.
Every show I have a dedicated drop D guitar and then standard on my others.
What gauge and type of strings do you use?
I use 11s, Ernie Ball 11s. And you know, like I said, I'm not a shredder, so I like strings thicker.
Yeah.
I kind of have to work for it a little more.
Sure.
I find that they stay in tune for me a little better because I can, they're a little, to me, they're a little more forgiving on like if I'm pressing a little harder or softer.
Yeah.
I can stay in tune better as a player. That works for me.
I think it's kind of universal, you know, those heavy, like lighter strings, man. I mean, some people, I don't know, I hear about Billy Gibbons playing with like 8s.
Yeah.
And I think, how does he?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like,
I don't know.
There's why, and then there's how. Like,
I was just trying to cover a Led Zeppelin solo for one of our songs live.
Yeah.
Which is like beyond me, obviously. Jimmy Page is my hero.
Yeah, brilliant.
But he does this bend where he goes, and Mark Townsend was telling me that he used 8s or 9s on his Les Paul. So he could do these insane bends.
Yeah.
You know, that with my 11s, I'm just like, hurting for certain trying to get it, you know?
Right, right. And you know, maybe that's why on some of those tracks his tuning is a little
suspect. Yeah, like Tangerine, some of my favorite songs are a little out of tune, but it never bothered me.
Yeah, because it's like the best music ever recorded.
Seriously, it's music, man. It's,
yeah.
I like that about music.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so three very cool guitars.
Yeah, man, thanks.
Let's talk about this pedal board. This looks equally interesting.
Sure, man. I love pedals. I'm sort of a freak collector of them, so.
Oh, that's our demographic.
Ah,
yeah, we
good.
All.
Yeah. Help me with my obsession.
Yeah.
So for this tour, I just put together this board and I kind of change it up per tour. This is.
Sure.
You want me to walk you through the signal?
Yeah, it starts with that quarter inch.
Here we go, yeah.
Old school quarter inch, I like that.
It's a guitar cable.
Yeah.
Sinusoid cables. Kind of hooks up with these cables.
Cool.
And I'm really loving, my concept is three gains that are stacked, and then it always to me goes gain, modulation, delay, reverb. That's just my concept.
Sure.
Probably for a lot of guys. So I've got a Lightspeed by Greer.
Great.
Fantastic.
Yeah, great.
I just
transparent as it gets. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you're using a good amp that just wants to be saturated and pushed a little bit, this pedal just does that better than any I know.
Yeah, very cool. And you're running it pretty conservatively, it looks like.
It's very conservative. So loudness and drive are just here.
Yeah.
When I switch it on, you would just hear the high end kind of break up, a little more brilliant, and what it does is just give me that tube compression that I like to get out of my amps.
Yeah.
So my concept is let the amps do the heavy lifting.
Right.
Let the amps do the work. I want to get a good amp that has a good distortion sound and then get pedals up here that enhance that.
Yeah.
So after that stage though, I have a stage that two different voicings doing the same thing. This is the 385 by Walrus Audio. Mm. It's mimicking their projector amps.
Sure.
Which is basically just like a 5-watt tube amp turned all the way up to where it's just saturated and the tubes are just, it sounds like it's gonna blow up.
Yeah,
It sounds like it's gonna blow up.
The sweet spot right before it dies.
I love that, you know.
Yeah.
Same with the Super Bowl, JHS, I'm a big fan. Josh is a friend of mine since he was making pedals in his garage, you know. I brought him a Supro amp out to a show. I was playing a Supro Super for a tour and
he
goes, what's that? I go, you don't know Supro? Take this amp, man, check it out. And he's like, that's it, I'm making a Super Bolt pedal that's after Supro amps.
So. Oh, that's great.
We also did a collaboration here. This is a JHS Bun Runner. This is my fuzz pedal.
Oh, wow.
So we made this together. Obviously, he's the genius in the pedal department. I just wanted something that was like a 4-knob tone bender.
Yeah.
So this is essentially a tone bender, and this is a modern fuzz, and I play them together a lot.
Two in one, okay,
and when they're
cool.
Layered, it does a really cool thing. It does that real gated, zipper sounding effect where I can play a riff like that has some palm muting in it and it'll actually gap out in between the notes where it kind of gates the sound and and then this side of the tone bender.
But you have to kind of memorize what all those, because
yes,
there's nothing, no indicator.
No, there's nothing written on it. You know, that's every show I come up here and I make sure all my knobs are in the right place.
Yeah.
You know, I just, you know, they get bumped, but that's what it is. Analog. Everything's analog on my setup.
Everything. I love that. Yeah.
So then from there, after my gains, I go into my tuner. So that if I have a couple of them left on after a song and I hit my tuner, it gets quiet.
Oh, that's a good idea.
You know what I'm saying?
Good
yeah.
way to do it.
And then after that is modulation, and I have the Julia pedal, which is a vibro chorus combination.
Sure.
I've got it set mostly on the vibro, but when I blend it over here, it blends into the chorus side of things. And
that's Walrus as well?
Walrus Audio. Yeah, it's real juicy. I use this on our single float, so I wanted to have it out here live to be playing. Cusack tremolo.
Oh.
I use tremolo a lot of times where I'll just manually set it where I want it or do a speed up to slow down effects just to add some ear candy to songs. Ibanez AD9. I've had one on my board ever since my youth pastor gave me one as a kid when I was in junior high. He said, you want this? I'm like, yeah. First pedal.
You're right.
I've had one ever since.
That's great.
You know, I've learned how to make spaceship noises.
Yeah.
Do all the delay sweeps.
Yeah.
That's this guy for me.
Have you tried their new Mini?
have not.
It's surprisingly close, and it's tiny.
Yeah. It's the size of one block. Right?
It's surprisingly close to that. So, pretty
That's
cool.
That's rad.
Anyway, sorry.
That's a delay. I love it. No, I want to try it out. You know, this is just one of my original ones, and then this is a JHS Panther Cub, and it's an analog delay as well.
Oh, cool.
It's
is like that a tap? Tap on
it's tap tempo.
Nice.
And it's like a Memory Man-esque where you've got your modulation speed and depth, so the delays can warble a bit for you. It's also got a cool thing that I've used a lot, but not on this tour, where it can send the delays into a loop.
Cool.
It's a fascinating effect. So just your delays can hit a reverb, which is really nice.
Yeah, you know? That's cool.
Really great effect. After that, I go into Matthews Effects Astronomer. This is a reverb pedal. It's got two settings. The top one I set for like a room, and the bottom one I set for a big splash that lasts for a while. And
can you run them together?
You can run them together, or one or the other. So I've got a remote switch that I've attached to that and this, where I can time it per song, or I can delay splash. So this button just gives me a delay splash from my astronomer.
That's
so I had
to
custom wire that up for me because, you know. We do a few songs where I just want this big and that I can turn it on and off easily.
So is it just for the splash, it's just on when you have your foot on it, or you just hit it once?
I hit it once, it goes on, and I have to hit it again to turn
it
off.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Cool. That's a great idea.
So, yeah. And then another pedal that's just impressed me over the years, obviously the radial tone bone. This is where I go to my two amps. It toggles between the amps, polarity. Comes in really handy because of all the weird power stuff we go through.
Sure.
Traveling. And then surprisingly, not surprisingly, but the boost on this pedal is very, very usable. And I use it to push the amps quite often.
Yeah, cool. Now it gives you one, two, or both?
That's right. One, two, or both.
Where do you run usually? Or does it just kind of depend on the song?
Yeah, it depends on the song, man. So my concept of amps has always been one amp with some clean headroom, and then another little amp that sounds like it's going to explode. Right. So I'll use either a Supro or a little 5-watt Revival that I'm using right now, or a, you know, something small that I've turned all the way up.
Yeah.
And that's my distortion sound that I kick in. So typically, I try to let the amps do the work that they were designed to do. So for a clean song, I'll use a Tele through just the clean amp.
Yeah.
And that's doing what it was designed to do. But for a heavier song, I'll play this Royal Haven with P90s, turn both of them on, and then just saturate both amps.
That's cool. I think Keith does a lot of that stuff. Keith Richards does a lot of that clean, dirty thing. Yeah, Keith. Why? Yeah. I don't even have to say Richards. Of course.
Keith.
Yeah.
Come on.
But I think he does that clean, dirty combo thing.
So, let me show you my
amps. Let's talk amps. Okay, cool.
Yes. So, like I said, I use one for clean headroom and one that's going to blow up. This is a 6.5 London that I got when that company first started.
Yeah, and Peter's a friend of yours.
Peter's a friend of mine. He came out to a show. I want you to check out these amps, man.
And
immediately was like, this is awesome, you know? And so played them for a number of years, and I'm playing them now, and I really love the amps.
Awesome.
It's a 212 cabinet with a blue and a green. Got a Celestion blue.
Okay, great.
And a green back, 25.
Great.
I'm miking the green on that guy.
Okay. And would you say you spend more time on this?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
You know, this is a very whole sounding tone. It's got some clean headroom. I've got it up about 4.5, 5, about noon, basically.
I bet that's a loud, it's fairly
nice.
Loud there.
It's loud. So with the Tele, it cleans up. Back the volume off a tiny bit. Totally chimey and clean.
Yeah.
With the Royal Haven, it'll just growl. That's already breaking up.
Yeah.
You know? That's on great. Where I have it. So it's rock and roll, you know, it's doing what it was designed to do. And then this is a Revival amp, a company that I had for a couple years that unfortunately had some differences and split up, but I still am super proud of the amps and love it. It's basically a 5-watt made like it was in the 50s.
Huh.
Chrome chassis.
Cool.
Military grade everything. And as you can see, I just turn it all the way up. tone and volume all the way open, and it just, that's a distortion sound to die for.
Right, right.
You know, with PAs like we have now,
yeah.
I personally have adjusted to that
sure.
by having a quieter stage volume and getting yeah. distortion from a 5-watt amp. Obviously, I'm using in-ears,
yeah.
and I can make it as loud as I want in my ears.
And what kind of speaker are you running with that?
Blue. Celestion
is
Blue.
It 10 or
12?
12.
12-inch speaker.
Because that's a big-ish cabinet for,
yes.
for a little amp.
Okay. Yep.
Cool.
It is. It sure is, man.
And I think those bigger cabs kind of sound better. I don't know.
Yep. It carries a little more fullness. Obviously, a 10-inch, like, I'll use that in the studio for a real focused sound, yeah. but then live, I'm trying to make it kind of pretend to be as big as possible.
Right.
You know, it's a little dude that's fighting for its,
right.
it's fighting for its, you know, voice, and
right.
it's, you know, ah!
And that's open back, and this is closed?
Both open.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I prefer open back cabinets,
yeah.
Just to breathe the air, just to, yeah, it's not too woofy. I don't miss the bass at all.
Yeah.
I don't miss not having a tight low end. For our style of music, you know, I'm kind of more into the open back sound, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, Drew, I know you guys have to get in the sound check.
So, man, thanks so much for taking the time. All the best.
And thank you, man.
Congrats on that signature guitar.
Thank
that
you
is
so much.
Awesome.
Thanks again.
Yeah.
And, you know, be inspired and play well and have fun.
Right. Perfect. Till next time. Cheers.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.